So in 1997, our world was gifted a new novel series. This novel series was one for children and teenagers, and it was all about this young boy named Harry Potter. This series has grown so rapidly that now it includes a series of 7 books, many accompanying books, a theme park, and now 2 film franchises about that world. It's quickly grown into a global phenomenon. But why do I say this? I say this because there were actually 3 things that I personally enjoyed about this series. Number 1, it got kids into reading. And those that had left reading came back to reading. 2, it was an escape from reality. And 3, it actually dealt with things that kids and teens were facing in their everyday life. It taught about relationships. It taught about being responsible for your actions. It taught about respecting authority. It talked about love, how to deal with loss, how to deal with bullies. And the reason I share all this is because today I want to start by sharing a quote from one of those movies that I feel will really set us up right for today's message. The line says, "These are dark times. There is no denying." Those words are spoken by the character Rufus Scrimgeour in the 7th movie. And I say these because I feel that that's how a lot of us feel right now. That these are dark times that we are facing. There is absolutely no denying. We've gone through 2 years of the coronavirus. We're now going into a 3rd year that seems exactly the same, seems just as dark as the 2 that came before. Today we also start a new sermon series, a sermon series called Seeing in the Dark. For the next 6 weeks after today, because if you count today it's 7, we will be looking at the various darknesses that cover us, the darknesses that we face in our everyday lives, and how even in that darkness and suffering, God's light of love and hope and restoration is there. And something interesting I want to quickly share is that in the New Testament, God is said to be 2 things. The first we find in 1 John 1:5, it says, "This message that we have heard from him and declare it to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness." So first, God is light. The second thing we learn 3 chapters later, 1 John 4:8, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God himself is love." So God is light, God is love. Tuck that away for later. Start by telling you a story. When I was in high school, I was part of a Christian performing arts team with Youth for Christ, now known as Youth Unlimited. And in grade 10, our show that year was called Illuminate. It actually dealt with this very topic that we're discussing today, that all of the darkness in our world, all the suffering, the corruption, the sin, that God's light is actually still there. God's light is shining through. And one drama in particular really captured that. I was a drama student. I still am a drama nerd. And so there were 3 of us on the stage getting ready to start when a planned power outage happened. It was planned by us, not by the city. We knew it was coming, and so we continued on our drama and did the whole scene in the dark. Throughout that sketch, the roles that we had, we were trying to get to each other, make sure everyone was safe, but at the same time also trying to restore power. One girl was trying to get up the stairs to use the bathroom. She fell down the stairs, sprained her ankle, and she had to be carried off. My character was in the basement trying to restore the power. And when the lights came on, I am covered head to toe in wiring that I got myself tangled up in. All through this, we were in conversation with a guy named Lightman, who we know now to be God. He was explaining to us about the power of living in the light and how we are to be the light of the world to each person that we meet. But we weren't quite understanding it until later on. So I want to do an exercise with you. I'll tell you what we're going to do, and then we're going to do it. When I say, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to put our hand in front of our face. So go ahead, close your eyes, put your hand in front of your face. Can you see your hand? You should not be able to. If you can, there's a problem, see a doctor. Keep it like that. Keep your eyes closed, keep your hand in front of your face. This is what it was like to be in that room that I just described in our drama sketch. We couldn't even see our hand in front of our face, let alone the audience that was sitting 10 feet away. We didn't move. Imagine if you tried to stand up and imagine you tried to walk around, you're probably going to get hurt just like us. Probably going to end up entangled in something and fall down. Now open your eyes. What if the power was restored? What happens once the light comes back on or you find a light? Now you can safely see in that room. You can find that path that's going to get you out safely. This is exactly what it's like to be in relationship with God. By walking in his light, it illuminates the path that we should walk, and we're able to follow him on that. We live in a world that's full of darkness, of sin, corruption, fear, despair. Yet God came with his light, and he broke through that darkness. This light was a light of promise, of hope, of restoration. So as we begin this sermon series, I want to paint a mental picture. If you read the letter on Friday that Beth sent out, this picture was in there. But in case you didn't, I'm going to refresh your memory. Each of us is standing in a hallway. You know there's a light above you, but the light's out. You're not sure where the light switch is. That's what we're going to try to do today. We're going to try to find that light switch. You know this hallway has 6 doors in it. Each door is wide open, but you can't see because it's all dark. So today we're going to try to find that light, flick that light switch on, which will then illuminate the entranceway to those doors, which then in the coming weeks, through the messages that we will hear, we will seek to illuminate each of those rooms one by one to find God and his light in the darkest of times that we face. So let's start looking for that light switch. Let's find that light. We're going to look to answer 3 questions regarding the light that we heard about in Isaiah 60. So verse 1 says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Well, that was easy. Arise, shine, for your light has come. There's the light. I'm done. Thank you. It's been great. I'm kidding. That would have been terrible. That would have been so foolish of me to give you the light but not explain what it is, how it works, and what we're supposed to do with it. So that's out of the way. Let's actually focus. Let's try to understand what this light is, what we're supposed to do with it. So let's start by getting the context. Isaiah 60 was written around the time following the Israel exile during the Babylonian captivity and then their return to their city. Judgment had fallen upon the people of Israel. Their city was captured. Their people were exiled. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read that exile is over. They can begin to return and rebuild their city. And throughout all this, they were called to be a beacon of God's light, of that hope of restoration. But instead, they chose to go the other way, to live in the darkness. They chose to blame God for everything that had just happened, which made them rebel and further distance themselves so far as to where God decided to remove them as his chosen servant and instead to send a new servant. Unfortunately, not much has changed in our society today. Anytime that something negative happens that's out of our control, first thing we want to do is we want to find someone to blame for it. And usually the finger points back at God. Why did you do this? And it's not just us as believers, it's those around us in our community that know that we are believers that come to us and say, "How can you worship someone that causes this to happen?" And to avoid confrontation, a really easy answer is, "I don't know what you're talking about." We're denying God, same way the Israelites did, just in a different way. If we continue on from chapter 40, chapter 53 talks about a new servant who will be sent, one who will dwell among the people, will live amongst them, then die, and be raised to life again. This person that he's speaking of, we know to be Jesus. God's light come to earth to dwell among us. But what exactly is this light? First, to understand the light, we need to understand the darkness. So first question we're going to answer today is, what is the darkness? Isaiah 60, verse 2, the beginning of it says, "See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people." So this darkness that Isaiah is referring to in this passage, it's not the physical aspect of light. It's not the physical absence of light, sorry. It's the darkness that's more symbolic or metaphoric. It's that, it's the sin, the corruption in the world. And this darkness affects each person. Just as it did then, it affects each of us now. And each of us it'll affect differently. It could be mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But we don't stay in that darkness. We finish reading verse 2. We see that there's someone that's coming to shine into this darkness. John 1:9 actually tells us that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming to this world. And that same hope in verse 2 of Isaiah 60. "But the Lord rises upon you, his glory appears and shines over you." Just as in John 1:9, he speaks of God's glory coming and it will shine on the people, tells them to arise and shine, for the light has come. Once again, God will send and shine his light into that darkness, this time in the form of Jesus. Now, what can we actually understand more about Jesus, about that light, than what's on the surface? So second question we're going to answer is, what exactly is the light and what does it do? The light in this text takes on a couple different meanings. As we heard in the context earlier, this particular passage, Israel has been in exile, and this is telling them now to get up, get ready, for their light has come. God has rescued them. They're going to be restored. At the same time, it's also God saying that he's going to start something new. He's going to send a new servant that will ultimately bring about a new light and a new way to be in relationship with God. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Every time I read this passage, I hear those words, "Arise, shine," just that. I'm reminded of when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. I hated to get out of bed. I mean, not much has changed, especially now that I have kids, but I hated to get out of bed. And so my mom would come in every morning and had different tactics on how she was getting us out of bed. And I mean, looking back, they were so annoying. She would come in some days and, you know, "Rise and shine, it's morning time." And no, I don't have that kind of energy. Or she'd come in and sing, "Rise and shine and give God the glory." No, I'm not rising and shining and giving God any glory right now. I would pull those covers so far over my head, grumble and complain at my mom. Sometimes that would resort to her throwing some water in our face, but other times she would just leave and leave us alone in that darkness. That darkness is so comfortable. That darkness of your room, being in a warm bed. I'm not saying that that darkness is bad. It's comfortable. It's not exactly bad, but it can be. That darkness of being in your room alone in the comfort of your covers, that could be bad if that then keeps you from being able to leave that room and face what God has for you that day. But if you actually enjoy that kind of darkness, not the darkness of sin and corruption, no one should enjoy that, but if you enjoy that darkness, that physical absence of light, there are many ways that you can actually partake in that. And one that I'll throw out to you today is that, go out to the country, get out of the city, come visit me, where it's so dark. It's dark at times where you can't see what's in front of you as you're walking outside at night. But one interesting thing you'll learn out in the country, walking in that dark, even though you can't see anything in front of you, if you stop and look up some nights, you're still going to see light. There's going to be stars. Even in the darkness, God's light is still there. It's still shining over us. This serves as a reminder to all of us. I too was reminded of this idea about 9 years ago. I want to be completely open and honest with you, and so I'm going to tell you a very personal story. 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with severe clinical depression. That was the darkest time in my life that I had faced to that point. I'd like to say it got better. It didn't. 2 years after that, so 9 years ago, I came here to Ottawa. I came here to attend Algonquin College to become a pastry chef. So yes, that's what I am by trade, and now I'm a pastor. One night while I was there, I was alone, living in the basement of someone's house, and I was working on a project for school that was worth a big chunk of my grade. And a darkness came over me that I have never experienced before. Just when I thought I was starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel of depression, a whole new darkness came flooding over. I felt that I was completely abandoned. God was nowhere to be found. It actually got to the point where I called Sam, who at the time was my fiance. She was living downtown Ottawa, and the two of us were concerned as to where this could end up taking me. So she completely ordered me to get on a bus immediately and drive to her, pack a bag, and I was staying at their place until this settled down. So got my stuff on, got out the door, and my go-to then, as it is now, to escape from all of this is music. You would have never guessed that. That's where I hear from God. Not that I thought God was anywhere to be heard at this point in my life, but as habit is, I put my earbuds in, started my walk, just press play on my playlist. I had no idea what was coming on. As I walked, I wrestled with God, saying, how come you could leave me at this point? Why aren't you here? What have you done to me? All of a sudden, a song comes on. The song by a band called The Afters. And when it got to the chorus, the words went, you light up the sky. You light up the sky to show me you are with me. And I can't deny. No, I can't deny that you are right here with me. You've opened my eyes so I can see you all around me. You light up the sky. You light up the sky to show me that you are with me. I'll mention that this is the darkest night I've ever experienced in the city of Ottawa. The clouds were perfectly black. No light was getting through anywhere. Minute that chorus played, something said, look up. And like every little voice in your head, you listen to it. So I looked up. The clouds above me had parted just enough to where there was one star visible. That, with the music that just played in my head and the way I was feeling, it clicked. That was a promise from God, a sign showing that even though I'm in this darkest time in my life, he didn't leave me, he didn't abandon me, he's still there. He's not going to forsake me. I got on that bus, rode it from Nepean to the Rideau Center. Got off at the Rideau Center, still only one star in the sky. I walked to Sam's place, and that star followed me the entire way there. That was the start of a new perspective for me about the darkness, about the light. There's this realization that even though I felt stuck in this, God was still shining through. God still had my back. He was seeing me through this darkness to the end, where darkness would no longer have a hold on me. And I stand here with joy today as a beacon of that hope and light that I made it out the other side. God's light brought me through. I'm medication-free, therapy-free. I have made it. You can too. It doesn't matter if your darkness might not be the same. We all experience in different ways, but God's light is still there shining, and he's going to see you through. Speaking of God's light being a guide, we just came through this season of Advent, where God used a light to symbolize the coming of his son and to guide people to his location so they could worship him. Jesus was sent by God to be God's light to men. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came to change what was and to create a new way of life, a new way to be in relationship with him. John 1:14, the word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he came to make us new and to be restored to him, as we hear in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have gone, and behold, all things have become new. So the other main thing that this light is it's a guide. Go back to our passage in Isaiah 60, verses 3 to 5. It says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To the riches of your nations will come. So earlier in the passage, we read that God's glory will shine on you. It will appear over you, and now we're seeing what's going to happen in that light of glory. All of the nations will come. See, God's setting up his plan. He's letting his people know how to find this new servant that is coming, one that's going to lead them to this new way of life. And better yet, all are welcome. It's not just to the Israelites. It's not just to the Gentiles. Everyone is welcome. God's light of hope, of new creation, of restoration, of love and salvation, and his kingdom is open to every person then as it is to every person now. And he doesn't stop there. He says that joy will overflow from you when those nations come to you. Now that passage may have been written years ago. It may have been written to a completely different group of people, but there's still aspects of that that can be applied to our lives today. Which brings us to our final question we want to answer. We have a better understanding of the darkness. We have a better understanding of that light. What are we going to do with it? So what do we do with this light? There are two commands to follow in this passage. The first one's pretty clear right off the bat. Arise and shine. It's time to wake up. It's time to step out of that darkness that we are living in and step into the light. Pastor Carrie shared a couple weeks ago on John 1, and she showed a video from the Bible Project. I have an image from that I'm going to get them to put up on the screen here, so just to help you reference this. There we go. Perfect. See, God's light entered the world through Jesus, and people were faced with a choice. And some chose to stay in that darkness, but others entered the light and were restored, reborn as new kinds of humans. We face the same choice today. We can continue to live in a world full of sin, of fear, despair, and corruption, or we can step into that light, the light of Jesus, and be recreated as children of God and be that light to the world. The second command we find in this passage may not be as easy to find, but if we look at the idea of needing to be a beacon of the light, that's a pretty good command. So once we've woken up, we've stepped into that light out of the darkness and have been reborn, we have to continue to shine. It's not just a flick of the switch on and off. Once you're in the light, remain in the light. Remain in him and be that light to everyone. That way, when you come into contact with someone, they're going to see something shining in you that isn't shining in the world. And they're going to want to know, what have you got that makes you different? How come you have that hope? If you look back to a passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, Jesus reminds us of this very idea of being that light. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all men, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We wake up. We step into the light, proclaim the glory by being a beacon to the nations, and all of us leads us to the promise in Isaiah 60, verse 5, that then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. You will receive joy as you are a witness for God, as you shine your light. Doesn't that sound like a great thing? Doesn't actually make it, it would make a pretty good New Year's resolution, I think. Let's do that. Let's make that our resolution. Let's put it on the screen here. Let's read this together. That this year, I resolve to step out of the darkness, no matter how comfortable it may be, and join God, walking in his light, being a beacon to everyone, and finding joy in spreading the good news of Christ in the dark times that we find ourselves in. Guess what? Flick. There's the light switch. Now you're standing in a hallway. The light's on. You can see the entryways of those six doors ahead of you. You can't see all the way in, but you know that there's something in there, but the darkness is still hiding it. What's in there? How is God's light going to shine through it? To answer that, you're going to have to come back for the next 6 weeks. I want to leave you with one more quote. Again, back to that series we talked about at the beginning. One more quote from there. This says, happiness can always be found even in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this promise of this new servant that you sent in Jesus. We thank you for this new way that we can be in relationship with you. And God, we pray that today that we would step out of the darkness into your light, that we would make that choice, and that each day by your Spirit that you would help us to remain in that light, to shine it into the dark places of our lives, in our world, and to those that we come in contact with, God, so that they will see your glory and turn to praise you. We ask this all in your name. Amen.